And so think of how much work that you put in order to get better at whatever the sport was. There's different things like batting practice. For football, you have Oklahoma drills. I played basketball growing up, and for some reason, there's a drill called suicide that you run, and you do those things in order to get better endurance. And so you did all those things, and all those things were fine because you wanted to grow. You do what you need in order to get better. And I think it was easier because you were passionate about it. This was something that you were completely invested in. We are willing to go to great lengths to get better at something when we really, really care about it. And when we experience that growth, we call that improvement. And so nowadays, maybe it's not a sport. Maybe it's just a hobby. Maybe it's golfing or gardening or going to the gym. Even in our hobbies, because we care about them, we are always trying to get better. If it's gardening, we're trying to find what's the best soil or what's the best method to grow whatever the product that we're trying to grow. Hunting, that's a huge hobby, and people think about it a lot. If you've ever listened to someone talk about hunting, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are a lot of different things that go in order to improve your ability to hunt. And why? It's because you want to improve your success rate. You want to be able to get whatever you were actually going after. But even in our jobs now, we're trying to improve there as well. Sometimes that improvement is in the form of ambition. Sometimes we're just trying to move up the ladder. And so as we advance in our field, again, that is another example of improvement. And typically there's some monetary value there. So maybe as you move up the ladder, you'll get paid more. So you have incentive. You are invested. You want to get better because you truly care about this. Sometimes it's on a smaller scale, and maybe it's just you're just trying to find out how to do your job better. Really, whatever the case is, I think you guys can see that anytime we really care about something, we are always trying to improve in that area. And then I think at the end of the improvement, or hopefully we've experienced the improvement, whatever the thing is, it feels really good to get better in that area. Sometimes I think looking back on the journey is actually even better than just the growth itself. You know, when we become an A-plus student after being a C student for such a long time, I think that's a good feeling. Sometimes it's even better than just getting the A-plus in and of itself. So everyone knows that growth is good. Everyone knows that improvement is good. And so even when the process is tough and it's very difficult, we're willing to do those things because we really care and we want to experience that growth. Now, all those examples that I just listed where we have all been improving in our lives, those are all on a physical basis. And certainly there is some value to all of those different things, whether it's financial value or whether it's just the value of the enjoyment that you get from getting better in it. There's enough incentive to make us improve, even on a physical basis. But my question is, what about the spiritual things? Do we grow spiritually? Are we growing spiritually? Do we even feel like we have the incentive to grow spiritually on a regular basis? Because I think we should all be in agreement that spiritual things hold way more value than physical things. So if we're willing to grow in physical ways, we should certainly be willing to grow in some spiritual ways. In fact, I would even argue that the only way that physical things have any value at all is when they are actually connected with spiritual concepts. So money, it has value, but it only has value when we use it properly and when we use it to better His kingdom. Fun and happiness, they only have value when they are within the context of enjoying the things that God would have us to enjoy. There's really nothing that physically has any value in and of itself. I think that's what Jesus' point is in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't store up treasure on earth, store it up in heaven, because heaven, the spiritual things, that's where the real value is. That's where the real incentive is. So if spiritual things have more value, and we've already agreed that there is value in improvement, then that means that we need to be growing spiritually every single day. We need to have the same mindset that we have towards the physical things towards these spiritual things. And if that's true, then that means that we should be willing to endure whatever we have to in order to be a better Christian tomorrow than we were today. Even if the areas are difficult, and surely there are difficulties, there are rough spots, there are things that you have to do as a Christian in order to get better that are very, very tough. But remember, we ran suicides in order to become a better basketball player. Or we went through the Oklahoma drills. Or we studied super hard for the test. We didn't even get much sleep because we wanted to get better. We need to make sure that we have our priorities in order. Because if studying for the test, if passing the test is going to be worth it, then surely being a better Christian should be worth it as well. So if we asked ourselves at the end of every single day, am I a growing Christian? My question is, what would our answer to that question be? I'm afraid that maybe our answer would be no. And if that's the case, then of course we need to do better. Maybe that shows that our value isn't in the right place. But if we do answer yes, then how would we prove it? How would we prove that we are all growing Christians? What can we point to in order to demonstrate that we are a growing and a better Christian? Because you can say that you're a better gardener if your crop is better, if it's better in quality or if it's better in quantity. You can say that you're a better baseball player if you have more hits at the end of the season. So really think about it. We can't just say that we're a better Christian if we don't have something to show for it. So what are you doing to become a better Christian every single day? That's the question we need to have in our minds as we go through this lesson, really as we go through the rest of our lives. Because I think we can get extremely complacent and we can lose our zeal and we can lose the value that would push us to improve. You know, it's almost sad, but sometimes we are the same exact Christian day after day after day after day. Now, it would be okay to be the same exact person if we were perfect, if there wasn't anything that you needed to work on in your spiritual walk, then it would be okay to continue to be the same person. But I think we all know better than that. I think we all know that there are things that we need to do in order to get better. So we need to work at that. So again, the question that we need to have in our minds is, am I a growing Christian? Let's dig really deep here this morning to see if we can answer that question. Because the answer to this question, if the answer is yes, I think that bodes well for our spirituality. But if the answer is no, then possibly even our salvation is at stake. And we're going to see that as we go through this lesson. But thankfully, maybe on the bright side, I've kind of already talked about all the tough things, that it's tough to become a better Christian. On the bright side, we have a lot of help in order to become this growing Christian. I think if it was just up to us in order to be better spiritually all the time, I'm not sure that we would have a chance because no one does it all on their own, right? We do research from other people. We learn from other people. Someone else guides us. If we could do better all by ourselves, then probably we would have been doing better the entire time. Well, thankfully, every single person here has someone who's in their corner. They have someone who wants us to grow really just as much as we need to grow. He has been with us from the beginning, and He has wanted us to grow from the beginning. And if you haven't figured out yet, I'm talking about God. God wants you to be that growing Christian. God wants us to grow. That question of, am I a growing Christian? God wants us to be able to say yes to that every single day. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that God wants us to grow? I think so many of His messengers have told us that. The apostles, they were messengers for God, right? And so the things that they said, they were speaking on behalf of God. And we have several different examples of the apostles expressing God's desire for His people to grow. Think about 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So Peter says to grow in the grace and knowledge. So in light of all of the troubles that the early church was experiencing, because that's who he's talking to the early Christians, even in light of all the different difficulties that they had, Peter told them to grow. So it's not just enough to be someone who experiences this grace and this knowledge of Jesus. We have to be growing in it, and we have to be improving in it. And I think maybe Peter is pressing on something a little bit deeper, but even if we just took the knowledge aspect of what he's asking for here, God is expecting that we have more knowledge of His Son and the things that He has done for us. The question is, can we say that? Can we say that on a consistent basis? Can we say that we are constantly trying to learn more about Jesus? God wants us to improve in our knowledge of Him. And I think that the fact that this is said to people who have such a hard life is so key. Because being a Jewish convert in the first century, that was something that was extremely tough. You had the Roman government doing different things. These people were cut off from their Jewish families. They were scattered apart as a result of persecution. There were false teachers that were trying to pull them to and fro. And I think all of those different things are things that they could have used as an excuse to not grow. But that's the precise reason that they need to grow. You know, as life gets tougher, that means we need to get tougher. As life gets harder, that means that we need to be growing. And so in light of all of the opposition that God has already showed them, He told them to grow. Because God wants all of His people to grow. Think about 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul told Timothy to be absorbed in these things. And these things here are the spiritual affairs that Paul has just told Timothy that he needs to make sure that he is paying attention to. And he tells them to be absorbed in them so that they may see your progress. There is another growth word. So God wanted Timothy to grow as well. And what's interesting about Timothy is already strong. You don't get sent to Ephesus in the way that Timothy did unless you are a strong person. He's an evangelist. He is in charge of teaching and growing others. So he's a strong person. So if Timothy needs to grow, that means that strong people need to grow as well. So even if we are a strong person, we still have room to grow. And I think Timothy had some built-in excuses as well, because Ephesus, that was a tough work. It was in a rough city and there was evil all around them. He was young and he didn't have an ideal spiritual upbringing. But even in light of all of that, God told Timothy to grow. So it doesn't matter what else is going on in our lives. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher like Timothy or if you're just a disciple as the people that Peter was writing to. When we ask ourselves that question of, am I a better Christian? The answer has to be yes, because God wants His people to grow. But thankfully, God doesn't just want us to grow. He also has given us the tools that we can use in order to grow. I think we're so blessed to serve a God who doesn't just leave us out to dry. And we need to recognize that, and we need to understand what a blessing it is that God doesn't just give us a list of demands. He also gives us a way to actually accomplish the different things that He wants us to do. So when God says that He wants His people to grow, certainly He has already given us the tools that we need. So our job is just to make sure that we are using these tools to the best of our abilities. I think we've already looked at one tool here this morning, and that's His Word. His Word is an incredible tool for spiritual growth. Think about 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. That's a super common and well-known verse. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." And so there's a lot of words that I could have highlighted here, but I think the word training is just so key. Think of the different things that you might train for in this life. Hopefully at the end result of that training, you have experienced some growth. You are going to be better than you were before. You train for a marathon so that you can get to the point where you can successfully run that marathon. You are better at the end of the training. So what is God's word for? It is to train us. It is to improve us and to grow us. So God gave us His Word in order to help us grow. And that's why Bible class is so important. I really appreciated how you guys made sure that Bible class was available for not only the people in, but also the people in the parking lot and maybe even the people at home on Zoom, because Bible class, Bible study is incredibly important. So that's why we need to make sure that we are making time to study our Bibles, to study the Word. And there is time, right? We've already talked about how there's Bible studies, but you could even study your Bible on your own. You can make time to study God's Word. And you really need to, because that is how you improve. Every single time that you open up your Bible, that is another opportunity to make sure that you are becoming a growing Christian. That is another opportunity to grow in the faith. So regardless of if we say that we want to grow, if we are not opening up the Word, then that shows that maybe we aren't trying hard enough. So we need to just make sure that we are opening up God's Word on a regular basis, because that is a tool that He has given us in order to grow. I think the brethren is another example. That's another tool that God has given us in order to in order to help us grow. I think there's a few maybe practical ways that this is possible. Stirring up one another to love and good works. That's that verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. When we assemble with the brethren, we should be stimulating each other to the good works. In other words, we should be encouraging one another to be better at performing those different works. So remember, the word is important in order to equip us for every good work. But also the brethren are here for that as well. I think rebuking our brethren when they are in sin, that is another example of maybe a way that we can become better using our brethren. When a brother sees another brother who is doing something wrong, he needs to encourage him to grow out of that behavior. He needs to ask him simply to be better than that. God has given us each other in order to hold us accountable. I think leading by example is another extremely practical way that we can grow each other and we can experience growth through the brethren. Because when I see another Christian doing something that I know that I need to be doing better at, if it's something that I know that I need work on, that is a reminder and an opportunity for me to grow. So really, there's just so many everyday ways that our brothers and sisters can help us grow, but I think maybe even specifically the brethren who have become teachers, those are the ones that are instrumental in our growth. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. This is a little longer text, but I want us to be able to lay eyes on this one. Let's look over in Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll actually read all 14 verses here. He says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices of sins as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes honor to himself but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become the high priest, but he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' Just as he said in another passage, 'You are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of the flesh he offered up prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one to be able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, as it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practices have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So the Hebrews writer has some pretty tough things to say to the Hebrews that he's writing to. But the things that he says to them as far as them becoming teachers, that's what I want us to be able to kind of focus in on, because he says by this time they should have grown to the point where they could be teachers. But instead, he's having to go back and revisit some of the more basic things. So he is providing them an opportunity to grow where they haven't already been seeking that opportunity, because they weren't growing. But the teachers, the people that he wanted them to be, those are the ones who were growing. And so as we grow, we actually gain the ability to grow other people. So whoever is speaking here in Hebrews, he is evidently in a position of growth where he could teach. But as we grow, we gain the ability to grow other people, because that's what teachers do and that's what teachers are. So think about it. We have so many different teachers in our lives today. So are we using the tools that God has given us to grow? Are we paying attention to the teacher in Bible class? You know, when I was growing up, I used to think that it was only kids who don't pay attention in Bible class. And then I became a preacher and I realized that that was certainly not the case. But I think we all need to do a better job of listening to our teachers when they are presenting information from the Word of God, because that's another opportunity to grow. Now, of course, teachers can do different things to make sure that they are more engaging, but they should be encouraging an interest that's already there, not creating it. We should all have a good base level of interest in what the Bible has to say, because it's God's Word, and because that's another opportunity to grow. That's another chance to ask ourselves, am I a growing Christian? And to be able to honestly answer that yes. And I don't think that this idea of teachers has to be in a formal manner either, because teachers have value even when you just go up to them and ask them or to pick their brain about different things. And there are plenty of wise and knowledgeable people in your life right now. So use the tools. Use the tools that God has given you in order to grow. Let's make sure that we are getting better together. Now, I think the most interesting tool to me, and really the one that I have enjoyed the most studying, the best tool is this idea of trials. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. God has given us His Word in order to help us grow. He has given us the brethren or each other in order to help us grow, but He has also given us trials to help us grow as well. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. Peter again writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." So Peter says a lot about trials in his two books, including things like don't be surprised by them. And that's one of those kind of how can you say that statements. But I think the reason that Peter can say don't be surprised by the trials is because Peter understood the benefits that trials can have in our lives. Remember those excuses that we talked about that with the group that Peter wrote to in 2 Peter? That there's all of those different bad things around them, the Roman government, the Judaizing teachers. All of those different things could actually stunt their growth. Well, these are those same people that he's writing to here. So they were going through tough times. They were going through trials, real faith-testing trials. But those trials weren't an excuse to not grow. In fact, those were actually the things that they needed to use in order to grow. So through those trials, through that testing, they were supposed to be better as at the end of it. We are refined and we are better as a result of the different trials that we might go through in our lives. And so Peter uses this illustration of refining gold. So a man takes gold with some impurities and he puts it into the fire and then it comes out pure and it comes out valuable. And so with us, by the same token, God, He has us and He takes us with some impurities. He puts us into the fire, into the trials, and then we come out pure and we come out valuable. The difference is that now we're not only valuable to other people, most importantly, we're going to be valuable to God. And that's growth. That's what growth looks like. That's what making us better looks like. And I think we've all seen this in our lives. We have all gotten through tough times, different trials in our lives, and we are always better as an end result of that. So trust in God, even in the tough times. I know that a time like this when it seems like every day is a new struggle, well, that means that every day is a new opportunity to make sure that we are better, to make sure that we are more Christ-like. Trust in God. Keep growing as a Christian. Keep using every single circumstance that you're in to make sure that you are a better Christian as a result. Because that's simply what God wants from you. And I would say that God is exhausting all options on His end of it to make sure that we're growing. So we need to make sure that we are putting in that same effort ourselves. So the question is what do we do now? We obviously know that we need to grow, and I think you guys are smart, good Bible students, so you probably already knew that before you got here today. Sometimes, though, we need a little bit of a reminder with certain things to get back on track. Peter talks about stirring up the early Christians by way of reminder. You know, we as humans, we need reminder sometimes. We forget. But once we get that reminder, then now the responsibility is on us. So if you have been reminded this morning that you need to grow, now you have the responsibility to make sure that you are experiencing that growth. Am I a growing Christian? We said that in order to answer that question, that we had to have something to point to in order to say yes. If we say yes, that we are a growing Christian, there have to be some different things that we look at in order to be able to measure it. So let's turn over to one last passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We are looking at different ways that we can actually measure our growth. Different ways that we can ask ourselves, am I a growing Christian? And really be able to check to see if the answer to that really is yes. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 12. Peter writes, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his former purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you even of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 12, that is what Christian growth looks like. So remember we said that the baseball player, he can check his growth by looking at maybe his batting average or his home run numbers, etc. Well, Peter gives us a checklist where we can check to see if we are growing ourselves. If you want to know if you are a growing Christian, well, you can actually check. Now, oftentimes we take this list here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and we look at it as a whole and we say that these are the things that you need. And of course, you do need those things, but I want us to focus on just one of them. Because if you can focus on one of them, and if you can say that you are getting better at any one of these different qualities that are listed in 2 Peter chapter 1, then you can honestly say that you are a growing Christian. And you can really just kind of go down the list. Do I have more knowledge of God than I had yesterday? If the answer is yes, then I am a growing Christian. Do I have more self-control than I had yesterday? If the answer is yes, then I am a growing Christian. Do I have more perseverance, and so on and so forth down the list? If you want to see if you are growing, then you can check. These are elements of our Christian walk where we can actually monitor to see what we're doing. And you can't manage things that you aren't monitoring. If you have no idea where you stand on any of these different areas or these traits here, then you can't possibly get better at it. But we have to get better. We have to get better every single day. So really everyone here today, and myself included, should take one of these qualities this week and really see if you're getting better at that. See if you are growing as a Christian. And maybe make it something challenging. Maybe make it something that you have always struggled with. Maybe it's something like self-control. Maybe it's something that other people have told you that you struggle with this thing too. There's no point in just continuing with that flaw. Remember, it doesn't make any sense for something to continue with the same problem. If you know that you have a self-control problem, then work on it. Get better at it. Focus on it. Monitor your responses to people this week. See if you are showing more self-control than you had been in the past. Jesus says your treasure is where your heart is. And I agree with that 100% because where your heart is, you are growing in that area just kind of 10 out of 10 times. So where your treasure is, that is the different areas that you're growing in. You know, for example, if your treasures are in your finances, then you are going to be getting better financially just kind of every day. That's a natural product of what you're doing. But if your treasure is in heaven, then that means that you're going to be growing spiritually day in and day out. That's going to show in us getting better every single day, all of the time. So just in closing, that question of, am I a growing Christian? Again, if the answer to that question is no, then that means that you need to start getting better really right here and right now. Because all of this Christian life is kind of meaningless if you aren't getting better at it. If you're not pushing yourself to be more like Christ every single day, then you're not doing it the way that that God would have you to be. You know, Peter says that those who are continuously growing in these different things, those are the ones who can find the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And so in order to get to heaven, you need to be growing. And you have all the different tools that you need in order to grow, so then it would be a shame for us to not use them. But maybe your answer to that question is yes. Maybe you do honestly feel like you are a growing Christian. Then the answer is how. How are you getting better? What are the different ways that you can look at your own life and see that you're getting better? Because all of these different traits that Peter lists there, all of those different things are ways that you can grow continuously. Like, no one can ever say that they have all of the knowledge or they have all of the self-control. Those are ways that you can keep growing. So all of us have opportunities to continuously grow. So maybe you're here this morning and you haven't started on that process of growth. You haven't started on that path to heaven. You know, if you've never put Christ on in baptism, then really you need to get that taken care of right here and right now. You need to start on that idea of growth, on this process of growth. But you can start on that process right here and right now. We would love to baptize you into Christ and get you started on that journey. But maybe you've already started on that process, but you realize that you've stopped growing or that you haven't been growing in the way that you need to be. If you aren't a growing Christian, then that means that you are a dying Christian. So let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Let's help you in any way that we possibly can. You know, if you have any needs, please make them known as we sing this song.
Who will follow Jesus?